This is Derek Warren here with Delane Donaldson of the Effingham County Cultural Center and Museum. Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
You said you were going to want to talk about the cannon on the courthouse lawn. I know not much is known about that.
Right. You know, one of the things that I have found so often, and many people know of a thing that's located somewhere, you know, a part of Effingham, you know, they know that, and they wonder, well, what's the story behind that? And so, as of, for instance, yesterday, some people were inquiring to me about out on the VFW lawn, there is a monument that says Memorial Park for or of Joseph Rubin, R-U-B-I-N. And somebody said, who was that guy? And I said, well, I really don't know, but I'll find out. Well, I got on a newspaper subscription that I have, a historical newspaper subscription on my computer. I got on there, and within about 5 minutes, I found this guy, interesting figure. He was a guy who moved here in the 1920s and lived here for over 20 years and died here, is buried here. But he was a man, and this was very interesting to me because of his ethnic background, that his father was a Jewish rabbi in Europe, and he had moved then to America, and this fellow had come to Effingham, established a clothing store here in Effingham, and cool. He was a very generous guy, and he had given money for the VFW to create kind of a little park, you know, next to the VFW, there's that grassy area that is there. Right. And so he had given money for that. $2,000 back in 1947, which was a pretty good chunk of money in 1947. You know, that was two-thirds of a year's salary, at least, you know. And so when we're looking at people like that, sometimes there are those things that have been around for a long time. People have seen them, but nobody knows what the story is.
Yeah.
I think my job as someone with the museum is to try to make sure that we understand everything that's out here. Now, with that in mind, a couple of weeks ago, we had some visitors to the museum. One was a younger fella, and he said, well, tell me about the cannon on the courthouse grounds out here. What's the story behind that? What war was it in? You know, was that a World War I cannon, or, you know, where is it from?
Right, yeah.
Well, I knew it was a Civil War cannon, but then I began to explore it, and I didn't know that much about how I'd gotten to Effingham, you know, and things of that sort. So what I want to tell the people of Effingham about then is the story that was there, and that is that back in the Civil War days, after the war was over, there was a tremendous amount of weaponry that the government had. Thousands of cannon, thousands of them, and other kinds of weapons that were out there. And so the question was, okay, now what do we do with all of this heavy-duty material? The cannon there on the courthouse grounds, for instance, weighs over 4,000 pounds. You know, it's a heavy-duty gun. And so what do we do with all this? Well, after the Civil War was over, there was a group established called the Grand Army of the Republic, G-A-R, the initials that most people knew it by. And so in the 1880s, it was functioning on a grand scale here in Effingham because we had so many Union veterans who lived in Effingham County. Over 2,000 people from Effingham County were veterans of the American Civil War. And that's out of a population. This is the surprising part. Population of just over 7,000 people. So that meant we had this high percentage of people who were Civil War veterans living here, you know, or had people who had served in the Civil War. Well, the United States government then, beginning in the 1870s, had made an offer to communities to say, if you would like to have any of the weaponry that we have, these heavy-duty cannon, and there were lots of varieties of them, all you have to do is make an application, and especially veterans post, like the local GAR post, then those were given preference over any other organization or any community as such. And so the local post then decided that it would make that application. They didn't do that until 1897. And so there was great newspaper coverage here in Effingham about you know, the application for the cannon and what it was going to be like and all that kind of thing. And then the question was, well, now, how are we going to use it, you know, when it gets here? Well, they only sent the barrel of the gun, Now, those originally were mounted on wheels. You know, there was a carriage that they were put on. Mm-hmm. And so it was shipped to then the GAR post. It only cost $18 and so many cents for the freight in that time period. But again, we're thinking $18.97, you know, yeah. A lot more than a dollar today. So the local post said, well, we need to raise some money somehow so we can outfit this thing. We can pay for the freight on it. We can get a set of wheels for it, you know, and things of that sort. So at the First Christian Church here in Effingham, there was a social event that was held. It had some singer who came in, and she presented an evening, popular songs of the time period. And so as a consequence, they raised more than enough money for the covering of their cost. And so then the cannon arrived really quickly. It was a matter of just a couple of weeks before it arrived here. And so then it was, okay, now we're going to mount this on this set of wheels here. It's going to have this carriage that will be allowed to set it here on the grounds at the courthouse. And so for a long time, it was closer to the south doors of the courthouse, out on the grounds there. And then occasionally it would be moved to another part of the courthouse grounds. And then on other occasions, if any group in town wanted to have that cannon setting on their grounds, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, we had two colleges here in Effingham. One was the Illinois College of Photography, which is Garnet Hall of Effingham of the present. It's where that was located. And the other college at that time was Austin College, which was on the north side and a little bit to the west of Bliss Park. Now, okay. Austin College eventually became purchased by the Illinois College of Photography, so it became part of this larger college eventually. But Austin College students, you know, this is typical of college students, I think, through the years. Austin College students saw that cannon sitting there on the grounds of the Illinois College of Photography, and they decided they would just swipe it, and they would take it over to their college campus and set it there. And so there was a brouhaha, you know, about that inside the town. And so it was interesting because it was a popular feature here in town. Yeah. But it was mobile, and so it could cause some trouble if you had people who said, hey, we're just going to grab that and take off with it.
Kind of like a Where's Waldo type thing.
It would be that, exactly, yeah. Well, then the obvious thing that the local veterans wanted to do with it was they wanted to use it in parades as part of a marching unit or a martial band that would be here, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so we have records of that occurring on a very regular basis. It was a major feature at July the 4th celebrations. The newspapers would print, okay, now we're going to buy, because we're going to fire the cannon. Now, they didn't fire the cannonballs, and the government gave them a bunch of cannonballs also whenever they gave them the cannon. But they weren't going to fire the cannonballs, but they would just detonate the powder charge, you know, put the powder inside, then boom, you know, it would go off. And so whenever there was any major parade then, and that cannon was drawn down the street by horses, then it would also then be used on the courthouse grounds, and it would kind of have a salute then to whatever the event was, you know, and very, very, very much a part of what we were doing here in Effingham. Now, another very interesting thing that I saw them do was this, that they decided that when President McKinley was assassinated, this is 1901, that they should do something to really pay tribute for him here in Effingham. Or pay tribute to him here in Effingham. And so after he had been assassinated, the Methodist Church here in Effingham, which at that time was on 5th Street, and the Methodist Church decided they would hold a large union service, which would invite all the churches of the community to come together on Sunday morning, and they would pay a tribute to the deceased president. And they did that. And then later in that same week, after the Sunday where that tribute was paid, McKinley's funeral actually took place on Thursday of that week. So in Effingham, the officials decided, we are going to hold a tribute to McKinley on that day, and we will have a hearse go down the streets of Effingham, and we will have marchers behind that, 1,200 marchers behind that. In the streets. I mean, just incredible to me.
Yeah.
You know, they said the Methodist Church was overcrowded, you know, with people who wanted to come, and people had to stand outside the building and the like when that funeral service of sorts took place there. But then the parade in honoring the president, and it was an event that lasted, you know, throughout the day. But the cannon was there, and it paid a special tribute to the president. And, you know, you could hear that sound, a very loud sound. In fact, in that one, it was so loud that a plate glass window on one of the downtown stores was broken. And so then the guy who owned the store, he went after there was this man whose last name was Volkman, who was the gunner, I guess he was called the gunner of the town. And so he would always detonate the charge, you know, to make the cannon fire. And so then the building owner went after Mr. Volkman and said, "You're going to have to pay for my plate glass window because you broke it." So there were kind of interesting sidelights that were there. Now, As we go down then through into the early years there of the 20th century, then and the cannon was still on its wheels, there was concern over you know, just how mobile it was, and the community decided that the smart thing to do was going to be to permanently mount it on concrete, and that way nobody would be swiping it, and there would be no threats, you know, if the carriage got too old or whatever else and broke down or whatever else, yeah. We'll just mount it there and it'll be permanent in place. So the decision was made to do that, and that was in 1910 that they decided they would do that. Now, again, it took money to raise the money for the county then to have that mounted on the courthouse grounds. And by 1911, then, it was fully in place and has remained there. Now, there's been, of course, renovation work in recent times on that. But so now whenever anybody comes into the courthouse and they say, "Tell us about the cannon outside your window out here, you know, on the grounds," we know what the story is. Yeah. And it has, I thought, really an interesting story when I began to explore this. I saw all these the different pictures that were in the newspaper at the time period of veterans organizations, because different units would come to Effingham. Because these all of the men who were in Effingham County who were veterans were not in the same infantry regiment. You know, there were lots of different regiments. There were cavalry regiments that they were part of and so on. And so there would be reunions that would be held here in the early days of the 20th century. And whenever they came together, then very frequently the soldiers, when the cannon was still mounted on the wheels there, that cannon on the carriage would be out on the grounds, and the veterans would gather around that for pictures, you know, and things of that sort, because that was the kind of thing that they had witnessed back in the Civil War days. And the same held true then when we went well into the century, when we got past 1910 and 1911, there were still reunions and veterans would still, you know, want their pictures taken there. But it also became a very popular picture-taking location for people of the community. And I cannot tell you how many times I have seen pictures of what looks like a couple of young couple there, you know, a girlfriend, boyfriend out there in front of the cannon. They're getting their pictures taken, or little family groups in front of the cannon getting their pictures taken. You know, so it's been a popular place to take pictures.
Well, yeah, and you get the backdrop of the courthouse there, too. So that's always nice to get that in pictures as well. Yep. Yeah, talking about the cannon like that, I grew up south of here in Edgewood, and they've got a couple cannons out front of their American Legion there, too.
Yep.
And I know I was always wondering about those as well. I imagine they were probably used in some sort of maybe the Civil War as well. I'm not for sure on that.
No, those are older vintage, so those are closer to us in time. Edgewood did have a cannon, though. They used to use that 4th of July celebrations way back when.
Okay.
You know, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. I've had some people from Edgewood tell me about that was always a special thing, that these are older people, and you know what a special time that was because they would fire the cannon. And they did fire, they had a little cannonball. And now this was a much smaller cannon than one downtown here. But they would fire this little cannonball, I was told. And in fact, I might have, or the union, I shouldn't say I, but I think that somebody brought one of those by the museum at one time, and he may have just let us see it. Maybe I forget now what the story was, but I know he moved from here down to Florida. But there was that firing of a cannonball that would literally take place. Everybody had to clear out of the way, of course.
Yeah, right.
And they would fire it out into a little wooded area. Is what
okay,
they,
that's yeah. cool. Yeah, I always wondered about that because I know they're plugged now, obviously. But mm-hmm. yeah. Right. It was always interesting seeing those cannons there right in front of the flag.
Oh, yeah.
Got the wall of the veterans there as well,
right.
the American
mm-hmm.
Legion. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting stuff talking about the cannon there. I didn't know that it was mobile to begin with. That was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and a sizable gun, you know, weighing 4,000 pounds. So that took real power to pull that down the street as well. So.
No kidding, yeah. yeah. Really a... Take for granted those horses' power.
Oh,
right?
You know it. That yeah. was real horsepower there.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. That's where, how we measure it, right?
Exactly.